since I was here last year. And I'm very glad to be back here. This afternoon, we want to listen to the Word of God from 1 Corinthians 15. We read verses 1 through 11. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, it worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what we believe. The verse we focus on is verse 10. With these words, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this chapter focuses upon the resurrection of the body. Paul's opponents in Corinth did not deny that there was a spiritual resurrection. But will the body be raised? If Christ isn't raised from the dead, then we are not raised. And then our faith is vain. And this is part and parcel of
Deus.
In fact, Paul says it's by God's grace that he is an apostle. By the grace of God, I am what I am. That sounds like a personal confession. And it is a personal confession that every Christian should be able to make. We Christians use the word grace a lot. But maybe we use it too easily. What would you be like without the grace of God? I want us to look at this verse under this theme. God's grace makes us useful again. Just two ideas here. First, God's grace puts us together again. And secondly, God's grace gives us energy again. Paul, in fact, says something very similar in 2 Corinthians 12. When he prayed that the thorn in his flesh would be taken away, God spoke to him. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my grace is made perfect in weakness. So then Paul says, that I will boast in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest on me. It's interesting that Paul would say that as a Christian. He says that in the second letter to the Corinthians. He says that as an apostle, that he still had weaknesses in him. It is interesting to think of that weakness that he confesses over against what he was like before his conversion. What was he like before he was a believer? Then we know him as Saul of Tarsus. He was born of Hebrew parents, circumcised on the eighth day according to the law of Moses. He was a Roman citizen. And he was educated even in Greek literature. Because he quotes them sometimes in his letters. But it gets better. When he was young, he went to Jerusalem to study under Gamaliel. And he was one of the great Jewish rabbis of the day. And Paul says that he did very well in his studies. In fact, he became a
check one time.
So do you get the picture?
Where's that shrine?
There's a man well educated.
Chicken race, easily put.
He was well trained in his faith.
And he teaches with us about it.
He was very zealous in following it.
That makes some point of time.
And then how does it happen? How does a man who's so smart and devout turn into a monster?
God is a more difficult translation, but I think us, Greeks, one of us,
how does a good member of the church turn into a beast? Is Paul a monster? He says that he was. Because he describes what he was like in Acts 22 and in Acts 26.
In
he hated Christians. He went to extremes to see that they would be arrested and put in jail. And if they didn't turn away from Christ, he was agreeable that they be killed. He says to Timothy in one of his letters, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor and a violent man. Brothers and sisters, the grace of God was more than enough to turn him around. The grace of God always wins. In Acts 9, it is described how he was going to Damascus in order to arrest Christians. He had letters from the priests giving him permission to do this. But Jesus Christ arrested him. And he turned him around. My friends, there is no natural reason why this man would ever have become a Christian. People have studied the conversion of Paul and themselves been converted. Something powerful and gracious from God had to turn his life around. God's grace makes him now a believer in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. That Jesus died for our sins and was raised for our justification. That he, God's grace, made him an apostle. He brings this message of good news to others. But not any apostle, an apostle to Gentiles.
But that day for my labor. Vai tu esi šo astotajā gadā, man bija iespēja šeit mācās teikt Rīgā.
After that, I went to Israel.
Un es pēc tam devos uz Izraēlu.
I went to dig in the city of Bethsaida.
Piedalīties izrakumos Bethsaidas pilsētā.
Now, I'm not an archaeologist.
Es neesmu vai arheologs.
So we needed a supervisor. My supervisor was an American man named Barney. We had to dig in the heat and the dirt for 2 weeks. But Barney left us after 3 days to go fishing. I would see Barney a few times during those 2 weeks. And I asked him, Barney, have you caught any fish? Now he was fishing on the Sea of Galilee. And he always said, no fish. I never told him to throw his nets on the other side of the boat, though. Later, during that time, we went into the museum where we stayed. And in the basement of the museum, I saw other work that Barney had done for many years. Barney put together broken jars and vases from ancient times. For hours, he would try to fit pieces of broken pottery
together.
And if he found pieces that fit, he would put the glue on and make sure they held together so the glue
would dry.
Tedious work. Long hours. And what I noticed is this. Some of the jars were very, very large, but they had pieces still missing and would never be found. And the glue, that glue had to be strong enough to hold these very thick pieces of broken pottery together. You know, the Bible uses the picture of God as a potter, and we are clay vessels. In Genesis 2, God, like a potter, takes the clay and he forms a man and he breathes into his nostrils and man becomes a living being. In Isaiah 64, the prophet says, "You are the potter, we are the clay." And when the human race fell into sin, all of us became broken jars. this world already guilty of sin? Not only guilty, we are also corrupt. And yet, when you watch people in society, sometimes even in the church, they all seem to know how to
act.
In fact, you look at their lives and it seems like everything is going quite well. But what they're doing sometimes is using masking tape to hold the pieces together. Or they put paint over the cracks and hope no one sees it. Outside of Jesus Christ, we are all
broken.
Maybe the answer is more education. Maybe it's learning the doctrines of faith really well. Maybe it's being very zealous for the cause.
But
without grace, we turn into monsters. My friends, the interesting thing that is true even about Christians is that sometimes they can have the marks of their life missing. Paul says, by the grace of God, I am who I am. And Paul had that thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan. And what was that thorn in the flesh? All the commentators say they don't know. But most of them want to say it was physical. Maybe Paul had not bad eyesight. Are the commentators afraid to think that maybe Paul struggled with some spiritual things? Something that he knew was sinful, but he struggled with it. Did Paul covet? Was he greedy? Did he struggle with anger? Did he struggle with lust? We don't know. But by the grace of God, Paul is what he is. And it humbled him, even though he prayed fervently, God
did.
And if I may offer a guess, I suspect that Paul went to his grave still with the thorn in his flesh. But God's grace was working in him. God's grace was making him useful. This is the chapter on the resurrection of the body.
we as socialists,
Paul knew and believed that someday he would be raised perfect. God's grace reassembles us. This is good news. But God's grace also gives us new energy. Paul says in verse 10 that he worked harder than all of them. Is Paul boasting? Is he bragging? No, he says, not me. It was God's grace in me. This is still true for Christians today. All God's gifts that he gives to you, all the education you receive, he can use. When we are born again, our talents can now be used for his glory. In the church, we work hard with each other to present ourselves without blemish before God. A believer goes to their grave firmly believing in Christ, but there's something in their life still missing. What is more important, our success or the grace of God that works? If we are looking for our success, if that's why we work, we will be tired very quickly. But if you and I believe that it's God's grace that works, we may be tired, but never tired of it. Grace, do you need it? Do I need it?
That's a jealousy. Why, tell me why.
Yes, we need it.
Yeah, that's why.
Not just preached, but also lived out and modeled. When you listen to other people talk, can you start to see where the cracks are in your
life?
What's really going on below the surface? Then we all need biblical wisdom to know where the pieces fit that God's grace is putting together.
That's
friends, we do not need a weak Jesus. But we need a Jesus who is strong in his love. We don't need legalism. Because the pieces don't hold together because of the guilt trip. There's a better way to the gospel. Grace is like glue that holds the pieces together. Paul was not changed by Jesus' nice attitudes. But God's grace was strong enough to turn him around and reuse him. This is what Jesus is still doing in the church today. By his word and spirit, he's applying his grace in our
lives.
This should lead to two things in our lives at least. First, humility. What do you have that you have not received? Arrogant pride has no place in the Christian life. But secondly, this calls for patience and understanding of each other. Patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Remember, this is the chapter on the resurrection. Someday our bodies will be raised. And then we will put on what is perfect. No more tears, no more gaps, no more cracks. No more disease, because there will be no more sin. So, my friends in Christ, labor on. Because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God is still working in us. And that is good news.
Failed
this in Jesus' name.